But before we do that, I want to pray, because I feel like somebody out there that your heart is racing to give your life to Jesus this morning. And you're looking at me saying, when is that guy going to give me an opportunity to pray? So if you would, just bow your heads for a second. Father, I come before you today with the person or persons out there today that are waiting to give their life to you. Lord, now is their moment. Now is their time. I pray, Father, that as they cry out to you today out of their heart, that you will sit on the throne of their life. We clear out every other idol that's been there. We command everything else to leave. And Father, as they invite you to be their King and Lord, may you flood them with the Holy Spirit. Flood them with the Spirit of God. And Lord God, may they right now know that they are no longer the same person that they were, but they sense and know that Jesus is there. And Lord, may you feed them, lead them, and guide them. And Lord, I thank you for giving your life for them today. Let's all thank the Lord with them. Father, I thank you for giving your life with them, for them today. I thank you with them that you gave your life for them. And I just give you all the glory and the honor and the praise for new life today. The body may look the same, but the life is new. And we give you all the thanks in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, the Lord has kind of developed a pattern in my walk with God. Let me just say it this way. Most of the time, in a lot of situations, or most situations, the Lord will give a pastor or a leader a word for the church around January 1st, something that God wants to impart into the body, into that local assembly, so that they can build. It can upon that word. It can build as a foundation. They can build upon it as a foundation in the days to come. But the Lord, He got not silent in my life, but for a long time, for several days, He wouldn't tell me what He wanted me to speak about today. And then one morning when I got up, it just downloaded into my life. And the Lord told me, He said, this is a word to open a door for Capstone. He said, I'm setting before Capstone an open door that I have opened for them. And then He began to speak to me about what we could expect in the days to come. And so today I want to share that with you. And release it in obedience to Him. So the backdrop for this word is found in John chapter 11. And we're going to read several passages of Scripture in John 11. We're going to jump around to kind of get the import of what's going on there. And then I'll share with you what the Lord shared with me. So John 11 verse 1, it says, a man named Lazarus was sick. And he lived in Bethany with his sisters Mary and Martha. And this is the Mary who later poured the expensive perfume on the Lord's feet and wiped them with her hair. Her brother Lazarus was sick. So the two sisters sent a message to Jesus telling him, Lord, your dear friend is very sick. But when Jesus heard about it, He said, Lazarus, sickness will not end in death. No, it has happened for the glory of God, so that the Son of God will receive glory from this. So, although Jesus loved Martha, Mary, and Lazarus, He stayed where He was for the next 2 days. Now look at verse 7. Finally, He said to His disciples, let's go back to Judea. So He delayed for a couple days, and finally He looked at them and said, let's go back. Verse 14 says, So he told them, his disciples, plainly, Lazarus is dead, and for your sakes, I'm glad I wasn't there. For now, you will really believe. Come, let's go see him. Now, verse 18. Bethany was only a few miles down the road from Jerusalem, and many of the people had come to console Martha and Mary in their loss. And when Martha got word that Jesus was coming, she went to meet him. But Mary stayed in the house. And Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if only you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now, I know that God will give you whatever you ask. And Jesus imparted a word to her. He said, your brother will rise again. Yes, Martha said, he will rise when everyone else rises at the last day. So even though she believed that Jesus, or at least said she believed that Jesus could do anything right now, when he spoke or imparted the plan and the word to her, she really did not believe it. She really felt like that God was going to not do anything in the now. It was too late. Too much time had passed. And that God was going to wait to raise Lazarus from the dead until everyone else was risen from the dead in the last day. But Jesus told her, he said, I am the resurrection and the life. Anyone who believes in me will live even after dying. And everyone who lives in me and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this, Martha? Look at your neighbor and say, do you believe this? In verse 38, it says, Jesus was still angry as he arrived at the tomb, a cave with a stone rolled across its entrance. Roll the stone aside, Jesus told them. But Martha, the dead man's sister, protested, Lord, he's been dead for 4 days. The smell will be terrible. Somebody's got a terrible smelling problem that God's about to speak to. And Jesus responded, didn't I tell you that you would see God's glory if you believe? So they rolled the stone aside. Then Jesus looked up to heaven and said, Father, thank you for hearing me. You always hear me, but I said it loud for the sake of all these people standing here so that they will believe you sent me. Then Jesus shouted, Lazarus, come out. And the dead man came out, his hands and feet bound in grave clothes, his face wrapped in a head cloth. And Jesus told him, unwrap him and let him go. To begin what the Lord shared with me, I've got to say this first. There's no greater king than Jesus. Jesus has a title called King of Kings. Now, most earthly kings or most earthly rich celebrities, when they come to a certain city, they usually stay at the finest hotels in that city. But Jesus, the King of Kings himself, he would often visit Jerusalem. And when he did visit Jerusalem, Jesus had a preferred place to stay when he was in that location. And the place he loved to stay there was Bethany. Now, when I was in Israel the last time, we were driving down the highway in our bus, heading back to Jerusalem from wherever we had been. And Roni, the most awesome guide in the world, pointed out a town on a hill as we neared Jerusalem. And he said, see that town over there? He said, that town is Bethany. And then he said this. He said, the name Bethany means poorhouse. Everybody say poorhouse. Poorhouse. So instead of staying in the finest hotel in town, as the other kings and celebrities are known to do, Jesus would stay in one of the poorest parts of the area when he visited. It was at the poorhouse that Mary poured the very expensive spikenard ointment upon Jesus. It was at Bethany that dinners were given in Jesus' honor. Jesus loved the people at the poorhouse. Now, as the Spirit was speaking to me about Capstone, he said that Capstone was like Bethany to him. Not necessarily poor in material things, but poor in spirit. And that's what attracted him to Bethany. And that's what's attractive to him about you. Jesus said in Matthew 5:3, he said, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is what? for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. To give you an idea about what's being said here, because I believe the Lord's saying this about you as a church, let me read it in the Amplified. He says this, blessed, happy, to be envied and spiritually prosperous with life, joy, and satisfaction in God's favor and salvation, regardless of their outward conditions, are the poor in spirit, the humble who rate themselves insignificant, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Jesus has an impartation and a manifestation for those that are poor in spirit. And it was at Bethany that Jesus did probably his greatest miracle before he died, was buried, and rose from the dead as King of Kings. And through his actions at Bethany, the Spirit spoke to me two things to look for in the days to come. Two things to look for in the days to come. Number one is extravagant manifestation. The Lord spoke to me and he said, look ahead, because extravagant manifestation is coming. Jesus said that those who are poor in spirit will see the manifestation of the kingdom of heaven. It was at Bethany that Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. And that miracle blessed the lovers of Jesus because it was a revelation of his dominion. And it was also a revelation of his love. And the miracle that Jesus did at Bethany and the raising of Lazarus from the dead exasperated his enemies because it was evidence of who he said he was. Now Jesus said to her, we're going to go back to that. He said to Martha, your brother will rise again. And Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again at the resurrection at the last day. So she had faith for the future. But Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. And he who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? God revealed himself to Moses as the I am. Jesus revealed himself to Bethany as the I am. Now, I love the manifestations of the past. I love reading about them. I love talking about them. We were talking about some with David Hatley and them the other day. And I'm thankful for the manifestations prophesied for the future. But Jesus is bringing a new revelation saying, I am. In other words, you can expect something in the now. You can expect something now. Now, I want to caution you against something. There's too many of you out there say, I've been believing for too long. God hasn't done anything up to this point in time. And we've been waiting and we've been praying and we've been seeking and we haven't seen what we were hoping to see. You know, you're not the first era that experienced that in the history of Christendom. You're not the first era that had to wait. I think about those people in Nazareth who were there and crying out under Roman oppression and crying out and saying, God, when are you ever going to deliver us from all of this bondage that we're in? And there hadn't been a word spoken other than what John the Baptist prophesied for hundreds of years, 400 or more years. There had been no real fresh communication from God. And there the Israelites were sitting there, and you think you've been in a dry period. They're crying out to God. And standing there, right there in the midst of the village, is a small boy. Jesus himself, who is the answer to their cry. God had it planted right there. The very answer to their problem was planted right there and they couldn't see it. So I want to caution those of you that are sitting out there saying, we have been believing for this and I just can't make myself believe for it anymore. Well, let me tell you, wouldn't it be just like God to blow your mind? God is not a man that he lie or change his mind. God's going to do what he said he's going to do. So I want to caution you about being doubting Thomas, because if you're going to be doubting Thomas, then you're going to get to touch Jesus and your doubt's going to be turned into faith. Because God is saying, now is the time. As a matter of fact, he brought back Psalm 102:13 to my mind. He said, you will arise, and they're talking about God. You will arise and have compassion on Zion, for it's time to show favor to her. The appointed time has come. So get prepared for expressions of the kingdom of heaven. Now, for those of you who seem to have a problem that's beyond hope, you remember we came up, we all got together and prayed about that and shouted over them just a few minutes ago. This word is something you ought to put in your pocket and keep close to you. Lazarus was not only dead, but he was in decay. All hope was lost. Even the sisters didn't believe anymore for kingdom manifestation when they considered the state of their problem. But Jesus is the Savior of the stench. And if you got something in your life that smells bad, then it may be ripe, all right, but it's ripe for Jesus to move on it. And he's getting ready to move on your problem. And all these delays and all this stuff is orchestrated by him. So what you might as well do is just get ready, because the I Am is visiting you in your life right now. The second thing that the Lord told me that we could look for in the days to come is extravagant worship. Now, love was the reason that Jesus preferred Bethany. Verse 5 says, Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. Verses 34 through 37 says, and he, Jesus, asked, he said, where have you laid him? And they said to him, Lord, come and see. And Jesus wept. And the Jews said, see how he loved him. And some of them said, could not this man who opened the eyes of the blind also have kept this man from dying? You see, Jesus loved the people there in Bethany. And that's why he loved to stay there. But because he loved them so much, there was an extravagant love coming back from the people toward the Lord. That which we love, we honor. And while Jesus' ways were sometimes strange to those who loved him, Bethany was a place, brothers and sisters, of staggering acts of honor and devotion. The Bible says this in John 12, verses 1 through 8. It says, 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came back to Bethany again, where Lazarus was, who had been dead, but whom he raised from the dead. And they made Jesus a supper, and Martha served, of course. That was her gifting. But Lazarus was one of those who sat at the table with him. And then Mary took a pound of very costly oil of spikenard, anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair. And look at what it says. And the house was filled with the fragrance of the oil. But one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, we know him, Simon's son, who would betray him, said, why was this fragrant oil not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor? See, that was the politically correct statement to say when you're in the poor part of town. That's politician speak. But look at what it says. This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the money box, and he used to take what was put in it. But Jesus said, let her alone. She has kept this for the day of my burial. For the poor you have with you always, but me you do not always have. It was here at Bethany and in this house where this event took place that an extravagant act of worship took place. And the house was filled with the extravagance of that devotion. It says the house was filled with the fragrance of the oil, and we know the oil represents the anointing. The house was filled with the anointing. Now Jesus is saying this, if you continue as a people who are not thieves of my glory, if you continue in that pattern, then this house will be filled with the fragrance of my glory and the anointing. Like I said, I had been waiting on God. as to what he wanted to share for you for this period of time. But the Lord, I believe, has looked at you, and I know we're not perfect as a church. No church is. No body of Christ is perfect. Sometimes God just decides to do things because that's just his decision. You can argue with God all you want to about, Lord, why did you choose me? Why did you choose this? You're not going to get anywhere with that argument because God is sovereign and he can do whatever he wants to do. Now, when I think about these things, I don't know what your reaction is, but the first reaction that I have is to sit down before God and say, are you sure? Are you sure this is what you want to do? After all, you know us. You know me, you know us, you know who we are. And are you sure that doing something like this won't actually cause us to fall on our face instead of bring you glory? Because that's the last thing I want to see happen. But then you have to be like King David at some point. Now, years ago, I would have gotten stuck right there on that argument. Lord, I don't know that this is the right thing to do. And I would have just gotten stuck right there. Even though I would have wanted it very badly, I would have been too busy looking at myself and looking at what we lack to be able to agree with God. But King David, when God spoke to him about his household and what he was going to do, I learned something from David. David sat down and he had that same type of conversation with God, in the fact that he said, Lord, are you sure you know your servant? But then David said, Lord, this is about you and not about me. And he said, perform your word and let it be as you have said. Establish it. I say yes to it. Everybody say yes.
Yes.
It's very important what we say to God right now. Okay? Because God has a plan. And that plan is to glorify His Son, who will in turn glorify the Father, which will in turn be a blessing to you and to all those that are seeking God, which will in turn inflame the enemy and make him mad and cause a backlash from him, whatever. Okay? But this is about the Lord. And this is about His glorification. Why do we live, brothers and sisters? Why are we here? We are here to glorify God. So we must say yes to God whenever He comes along and says, this is what I want to do. Some of you are falling short of the plan that God has for your life because you're still too stuck on looking at yourself and evaluating yourself and saying, I can't, I haven't. I didn't. I'm not. Do you not think that God has already taken all those things into consideration as He has evaluated His plan? He has. And He picked you for a reason. He picked you for all those very reasons you just said. Because you don't have a whole lot of talent that can get in God's way. He loves you, but of course, and He's created you like you are, and you're wonderful, and you're fantastic, and all of those kind of things, but He's looking for a group of people who will evaluate themselves honestly, spiritually. And all those that who evaluate themselves truthfully and honestly, spiritually, He's going to use you for His glory. Humble yourself before the Lord, and He will exalt you in due time. Well, I believe the time is here. I believe it's here. And so what we're going to have to say to the Lord is, I trust you. I trust you. And just like we've fallen on God in hard times and depended upon Him in hard times and been close to Him in hard times, we're going to fall on Him and depend upon Him when He's manifesting Himself in glory. Because we haven't changed and neither has He. Because I am not stupid enough to get confused about who does the work. I can remember what Parkey's best is. You know what your best was before you got saved? That was your best. That was your best. That was the best you could do without Jesus, without His involvement in your life. And I hate to tell you what my best was. Broken marriages, alcoholism, drug abuse, failure as a parent, failures, miserable failures, like you and your brother had brother-in-law of yours. That's a, it's a wonderful life, you know. So I guess I should just give it to you, you miserable failures like you guys. God said, yeah, that's a good candidate. Because I'm going to show my glory through it. Amen? Amen. Because I truly believe that God, and I'm not saying God's going to save everybody, but I truly believe that at the end of all things, we're going to be able to look back and see that God redeemed everything. Every mistake that's ever been made in the past, God somehow is going to redeem that somehow. So at the end of time, after the enemy is defeated and he's standing there right before judgment, right before his judgment, all he can do is fall on his knees and say, you did it. You countered me at every corner, every juncture. And even though I can't stand you, I still must say, you are King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Yes, you got a word. Come on up.
You know, this word is so awesome because it comes at the beginning of the Hebrew New Year. And that's where we are right now. We're in the month of Chesvan, and Chesvan is represented by the tribe of Manasseh. I have a word for women in this congregation, women who have felt pushed aside, who have felt insignificant. You know, Manasseh was the tribe who went before the judge and asked for an inheritance for the women. There were daughters in families where there was no son, and daughters were, in the past, they had been looked over. They weren't given an inheritance. But the Lord says, just like the tribe of Manasseh during this season, you are going to realize your inheritance as a daughter of Zion. You have an inheritance in the house with the Lord. There's a lot of political stuff going on, you know, with women. But you don't have to depend on something like that for your inheritance. Because your inheritance is with the Lord. And the Lord is going to make sure that you have your inheritance and it is not looked over.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. If you're a woman, say, that's mine. I'll take it. That was for me. Amen. That's for me. I'll take it, Lord. Thank you for it. Thank you for it. Now, you say, well, Pastor, how's all this going to start? I don't know. What's the first step? I don't know. Mark was singing, arise today and take a step of faith. So the step of faith that we're taking today is speaking this out. and opening our heart to receive it. Now, if we knew how to make this happen, God wouldn't choose us for this. It wouldn't. I don't know. You know where that puts us? In perfect position for God to do something powerful in and through our body and our lives. Now, some of you are about to go into hyperspeed spiritually. So I just want us just to open our hands up. We're going to close this way today. Just open your hands up. Father, there is a change coming in the lives of many people in this room. Some's schedule is about to change. Some of them, you're about to start waking up at a different time that they've been used to getting up. And they're going to be worried. They're going to say, well, I'm not getting enough sleep. And the next thing they're going to, there's running on some type of energy. They don't know where it's coming from. And Father God, there are others here that are in the midst of a change, a complete transition from one thing to another. And there are others here who are about to see a miracle take place right where they are, in what look like a dump ground for their life. They're about to see a miraculous but something powerful happen there, a big change. And so, Lord, now I can't talk to God for you, but if you're open to whatever the Lord wants to do in your life, even if it's scaring you a little bit, if you're still open and say, I want that more than anything else, even though that scares me a little, I want you to open up your heart to God right now. Father, I agree that as you walk up and down these aisles in this congregation and you touch people, that as you touch them, you are imparting to them the anointing for this new time, this new day, and this new period in their life. Now let's receive it. If you've opened your heart to it, let's receive it. Father, I thank you for it. I will follow you wherever you say go. I am open to changes. I am open to your touch. I am open to your alterations of my life. And I also thank you ahead of time for the miracles and the glory and the power that's going to be manifest. Father, I release, for all of those who would open their heart right now, I release an anointing of prayer over your life. If you've always wanted to be a prayer, and I'm not saying anything about myself, but I just feel like the Lord's telling me to do this. If you really want to be a prayer, you really want to pray and seek God at a high or a deep level, just open up right now. Father, I pray for the impartation of the anointing to seek God and to pray and to have a hunger for it. And the more that they do it, the more they'll want to do it, the higher the power will be, the deeper the level will be, and that they will walk in a revelation and in a presence of God like they've never known before. And I give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.